want to live a high vibe life with radiant energy levels, juicy sexual vitality, and have great success manifesting abundance in your life. Welcome to the Sexual Kung Fu Podcast, where we dive deep into sexual mastery and how to use sexual energy to magnetize your ideal life. All right. Welcome, everybody. It's Friday evening. Well, it's Friday afternoon. It's a nice rainy day here in Asheville, North Carolina. And not going to lie, I'm a little tired today. It's been a busy week. I crushed it this week. Difficult workouts at the gym, martial arts classes, my own rigorous daily practice, miles of walking, creating videos, all kinds of things. It's been a full week, guys. But, you know, honestly, I didn't really feel like doing this today. But this is the whole thing. This is the theme of today, is this theme of self-mastery, getting out of your comfort zone and growing in all areas of your life. And it doesn't happen when you always do, when you always just do like what's the most convenient, what's the easiest thing to do. You know what I mean? And, you know, I made a choice to show up for you guys today to be here and do my thing because, you know, it's what I do, I guess. I don't know how to stop, guys. I don't know how to rest and take it easy. In some ways, but anyways, what I really want to speak about, V23, what's up? Ooh, I see we already have some questions here. Sean Flanagan, Jason Wilson, just down I-40 in Hickory. Very nice. Today, I want to talk about the path of self-mastery. And this is a very, we got the microphone up close today. Hope you guys can hear me all right. Had some audio issues a couple weeks ago, so I'm like, my mic's got to be just right, you know what I'm saying? So I'm going all Joe Rogan today. No, not really, but okay. Talking about the path of self-mastery. And what a fitting subject for the current world that we are living in. So this concept of self-mastery, I mean, I would say it's a bit of a lost art in the modern world, the world that we live in. We live in the time of technology, instant gratification, social media, literally living your life in a virtual reality, getting all of your information from a screen, your view of reality, your view of the world, your relationships with other people, often all taking place through, you know, digitally. What's real anymore? You know what I mean? And this concept of like walking the path of really working on yourself, really putting in the work, putting in the growth, doing the practice, striving, spending hours a day doing one thing. It's becoming a rarity as people are interested in instant gratification, you know, just trying to distract themselves, really distracting themselves with social media, TikTok videos, you know, taking substances, taking pharmaceuticals just to numb things because their body's saying, hey, you're not really in your purpose. Let's create this pain, this disease, you know, and people just ignore it, right? So I'm all about this lifestyle of self-mastery because I believe it's, I mean, first of all, I think it's the only fulfilling path for me personally. You know, I've done a lot. I've been on the opposite path, the path of laziness, the path of instant gratification. And I can tell you, for me, it only led to emptiness. It only led to disappointment, to anxiety, to depression, to feeling empty inside. And I tried to fill that emptiness with alcohol, with porn, with substances, whatever. And that never really worked. It just got worse over time. So what really worked for me was doing things that are real, doing things that are meaningful, putting in the work, putting in the practice, developing my mind, developing my body, my spirit, and having some sort of purpose, really having a reason for getting up every morning, having something to give back to the world, having something to create, something to, you know, just try to leave the world around me a little better than it was when I got here. You know what I mean? This is a damn mess. I'm not going to lie, but this is it. This is the path of self-mastery. And it's really looking at every aspect of your being and saying, how can I improve this? It's kind of the opposite mindset a lot of people have of like playing a victim and like, oh, this is all someone else's fault. And I have this and that's why. And so, you know, I'm just such a victim and poor me. I want to make sure everyone else feels sorry for me. I mean, there's enough of this bullshit in the world right now. No, that's not going to get anyone anywhere. Excuses, victim mindset, it's only going to hold you back. You'll never be happy. So it's really up to us to do the work, to be on the path, to make the changes we want to see. You know, no one's going to do this for you. No one is going to, you know, people waiting around for things to happen. It's like, you have to take action. You have to do this for yourself. So my journey, and of course, before I get into that, I mean, this is one of the biggest themes of sexual kung fu. Kung fu, skill, discipline attained over a period of time. It's not really just, you know, martial arts, fighting. That can be an aspect of it, obviously, but it's everything. Kung fu is everything. Of course, sexual kung fu is the skill and discipline of working with our sexual energy. And, you know, the topic of semen retention, which is a popular topic and something I've been practicing and talking about for a long time, it's all about self-mastery. You know, this is the opposite. We're, as men, taught to basically be slaves to our impulses. Just because we have a horny thought, a sexual impulse, a sexual desire, we're conditioned to be like, okay, gotta go jerk off and ejaculate that creative driving force out of my body. It's a waste. It doesn't go anywhere. You don't get anything from it. You don't cultivate it. So that's where, how we're conditioned to be as men in this world, slaves to our impulses, just trying to desperately scratch an itch, literally throwing all of our vitality down the drain in the process. And to practice semen retention, to practice sexual cultivation in the world that we live in with Pornhub, instant, you know, access to tube porn, OnlyFans, TikTok deprivation, you know, TikTok degradation. It takes a lot of willpower and discipline, and just, it really takes mastery to live the path of sexual cultivation, of semen retention, to hold your essence in a world that's trying to suck it out of you everywhere you turn. So props to you guys for doing the work. You know, just to be on this path is a lot. Just to be attempting to do this is a lot, because most people aren't. Most people are not attempting really to do anything. They're just literally lost in this tsunami of external stimulation, just trying to distract themselves, you know. But you guys are, you know, you're on the path. You're working on it. You're doing the work. And that puts you in, you know, a special category of cultivators, people who are doing the work, putting in the effort, putting in the time. And that's what we need right now on the planet. So my journey with, you know, this self-mastery, I would say, really began in my teenage years. And for me, the first thing was music, playing guitar specifically. You know, when I started playing when I was 12, but it was when about the age of 16, I got really serious. And I was like, oh, you know what? If I want to get better at this, I have to like really put in like regular time and consistent practice with this. So I would like sit in my room with a metronome, playing scales and things like that. And I realized, oh, day by day, you know, I get a little bit better. I slow it down, do it slowly and cleanly so I can do it just right. Then I speed it up, like, wow, I'm getting better at this. And, you know, by the time I was 18, 20 years old, I was shredding that guitar, baby, playing in bands, playing shows. You know, I won a battle of the bands a few times with some of the bands I played in and things like that. So that was where it began for me. That was my first discipline, was practicing guitar. I would sit in a room, you know, while my other friends were out partying and getting girls pregnant. I was sitting in my parents' basement practicing the guitar. I mean, I had my fair share of partying, don't get me wrong, but I put a lot of time and effort into that. And that really planted the seed and became a skill that served me very, very greatly later in my life. You know, one of the next big things I got into and exercised this discipline and self-mastery was yoga and meditation. After going through this kind of spiritual awakening experience, I was like, how do I sustain this level of like cosmic consciousness? And I got drawn to the Eastern traditions. Yoga was the first thing it was a practical thing for me to approach. And so that became a new practice. And at this time, you know, when I was like, my early, it was like 20, 21, something like that. When I got into yoga, I was underweight, malnourished probably. I was a scrawny, I'm 6'1". I was like 130 pounds. I was skin and bones. And so for me doing yoga, it felt like really difficult. Almost like when I go to the gym and, you know, do heavy workouts, that's the level of difficulty felt to me back then. So just to do that every day, it was a huge thing for me. And it was hard. It was, at the time, it felt like a lot. I was a really lazy person at this time. And so, it was kind of pushing myself to do it every day. But over time, it got easier. And I noticed like, wow, I feel so much better when I do this. And it eventually became just part of my daily routine. Same thing with meditation. I remember the first time I sat down was like, okay, I'm going to meditate. And I sat there. I was like, okay, I'm going to meditate for 5 minutes. And I was expecting to have like, oh, meditation's like, I'm going to have like visions and like crazy stuff. And yeah, no, that didn't happen. I sat there and it was like the longest 5 minutes of my life. I was like, oh my God, like so many thoughts going through my head. Like I can't quiet my mind down. Like this isn't easy. And so it was a similar thing with meditation. It felt like a lot to just sit down and like try to still my mind in the beginning. I was doing like, you know, 10 minutes a day. And that was like 19 years old at the time, right? But I did it every day, every single day, kept doing it. And I started to get a little better at it. I started being able to get in these states of deep stillness. I didn't even really have like an organized meditation practice. Like I hadn't properly studied it. I just knew it was something I needed to do. So I was just like, well, I think I just sit here and like try to empty my mind. That's how it started for me, right? I wasn't doing microcosmic orbit and Nadon internal alchemy and shit back then. I was just like, can I still my mind? Can I sit still for 10 minutes and like not have this raging, you know, thoughts going through my mind? So that was another practice. And again, through the years, I got better and better and better at it. And of course, once I learned like formal cultivation practices and how to have a bit more strategic is the right word, but you know, proper technique and things like that, it really got deeper and deeper and deeper. And I started to see like, wow, this starts to affect me through the rest of the day. I feel less reactive. I feel like I'm a little more aware of like the patterns that are happening in my mind, like my looping thoughts, these like emotional triggers I have. It just helped me bring a lot more awareness into everything in my life. And like a lot, like I used to have, you know, anxiety and depression and things like that. And it started to go away with like my yoga and meditation practice. And then I got into Qigong. Oh, baby, that was the real deal, you know? And not to say that yoga meditation isn't, it's just, you know, that's when I started to really feel the qi. I'll never forget the first time I did Zhan Zhuang practice, standing meditation. I found this video. Oh, no, well, how did I discover it? No, first I'd been to an acupuncturist and told me about this Qigong practice. I was like, all right, I got to do this. Sounds good for me. I found this video, this guy, this old Australian guy, this video from like the 80s. His name's Earl Montaigu, really amazing, really masterful cultivator. He died, I believe, at around 2012 or so, maybe earlier than that. Anyways, I've somehow found this guy's video. He's teaching standing meditation, Qigong. And I did the 15 minutes that he recommended. I was like, okay, stand, embrace the tree, align your body like this. And again, that was the torturous 15 minutes. And you guys know, those of you who've done this practice, the standing meditation Qigong, the first time you do it, it's fucking hard. It's really difficult. It's kind of a torturous practice in the beginning because you stand and you align your body in a way that feels very awkward and unfamiliar because we're all so out of alignment. And you try to relax and, you know, your arms are burning after a few minutes of holding them up. Your legs are burning. Your mind's racing. You're like, fuck. Because we're so busy doing stuff. So just stand there and do nothing. It's not easy. So I remember the first time I did that, it kicked my ass, but I was like, you know, there's something to this. I felt really good the rest of the day. I felt really grounded, really present. And it wasn't, of course, it was a year or two later until I actually committed to doing that every day. And that became, again, one of my big disciplines was Qigong. I remember when I committed, okay, I'm going to do this every single day, at least 10, 15 minutes, just see what it does for me. I'll do that for a month. I'm still doing it. You know, that was almost 10 years ago. And so the kind of seeds I planted of self-discipline in my teenage years, it started to apply to all these different things. And, you know, of course, the next thing was the sexual kung fu practice, sexual cultivation, learning to have non-ejaculatory orgasms, not just giving into my impulse to just ejaculate and to delay pleasure, to delay gratification. And wow, how that changed my life. Wow, how that got me out of very addictive outlets, dead ends in my life, just, you know, jerking off to porn, having no energy, having no ambition. I used to think I had like, you know, ADD, ADHD, whatever, because I couldn't focus on things for more than a few minutes. My mind was just very unorganized. But it was because I had trained my mind to be that way. Not to mention my diet wasn't optimal, I believe. Just wasting my sexual energy, over ejaculating was causing some of that mental fatigue and busyness as well. And once I started practicing sexual kung fu and qigong, I was amazed at how much my focus improved. I could sit and do one thing for an hour, 2 hours at a time, no problem. Very, very focused, very organized mind, because I learned how to quiet it. I learned how to clear my energy channels and get some of the noise, the excessive noise out. And of course, the sexual energy, cultivating that, boom, that's the firepower. That is the driving force. That is the alchemical elixir, my friends, sexual energy. So I became very disciplined, and this, you know, years and years of training, this carried over eventually into more like, you know, self-development stuff. Cause it was like, okay, after many years of doing qigong, I was like, yeah, my channels are open. I feel the qi, things are feeling good. I feel very healthy, very, very radiant. My mind is very balanced, but I'm broke. I don't have any money. I'm terrible with finances. I have this terrible lack mindset. So that was one of the next things I had to work on. Another step of the journey of self-mastery. And, you know, just really, I noticed this pattern where I had a challenge. I had, you know, it was what led me into yoga was I went through a really, really painful, just heart ripped out of my chest breakup, you know, with someone I'd been in a relationship with 5 years. And I was in really deep pain. I literally was in physical pain. I had this weird shoulder thing happen that was affecting my guitar playing. I couldn't play guitar for very long because my shoulder was hurting. So I got into yoga because I was like, well, I heard these chakras and energy blockages. I don't know. Got to stretch this out of my body. And so it's often our pain that drives us to understand, you know, why is this happening? What can I do about it? You know, that's the approach. A lot of people just kind of like go into victim mindset. Okay, poor me. This is terrible. So bad. I need a drug to numb this and just, you know, just a downward slow spiral from there. But the other approach people have is they let the pain kind of become this meditation of, okay, why do I have this pain? Some of the pain in the body. Why do I have this pain in my body? What is the deeper reason of this? Why do I have this emotional pain? Why do I have these patterns in my relationships that lead to pain? What's the deeper underlying thing here? So you do this kind of self-inquiry. You dig through the levels. You see how this applies to other areas in your life, and you learn more about it. You know, this is a pattern I had personally, was I started to let my challenges, the areas of my life that I felt stuck in, drive me to become better at these things. So the next thing for me, again, was finances, money. I grew up in a family, you know, farmers in Idaho, small town. You know, I can't say like I didn't, you know, have all my needs met. I certainly did. But like there was definitely this lack mindset around money. Always this idea of like there's not enough, you know, better save your money. Don't spend it on, you know, buy the cheapest thing possible. I had all these limitations and conditioning around money. And it was really, really holding me back. And so I started diving into this, you know, just learning about money and the mindset around money, abundance mindset, started studying business, marketing, and, you know, realized, wow, I have this pretty incredible skill set of things, you know, as specifically, I've been studying these Taoist practices for years and I've gotten pretty good at them. And like, they changed my life so dramatically, so beneficially that every single person in the world could use this. And I can like, you know, teach this to people. I can share this. I can bring this out to hopefully masses of people. And, you know, I mean, that was really it at the time. I was like, yeah, I just want to share this. I want to spread this. And that led me to literally, you know, I started my sexual kung fu YouTube channel 2017. I started talking about the stuff. And literally a year later, it became a full-time career for me. Income, full-time job. You know, I was teaching, creating courses, coaching people, and I was getting paid for it. And it made an incredible living for me to where I could do whatever I wanted, travel as I wanted, live an amazing lifestyle. And, you know, and it's just a natural progression. When you follow your heart, when you follow your passion, the universe supports you. And when you understand, when you respect yourself and understand that what you have has value and you're not afraid to, you know, claim, you know, own that, it's amazing what happens in your life. So these are the, you know, this was kind of the stages of my development. Of course, all kinds of inner work as well, like my own personality issues, ideas of like, self, low self-esteem, thinking that I'm just like a worthless piece of shit. A lot of us have this on some level because, you know, we were holding on to this from our childhood when our parents got angry at us and told us we were bad or something like that. We're literally carrying this around still, a lot of us. Like, we still have these emotional woundings from our childhood that's holding us back. So that's another layer of the working. So basically, you know, just sharing, like, this has kind of been my journey with it. And I will say where I'm at now, or at least one thing I'm focusing on now is in the area of relationship, of just seeing how being in a, you know, I've been in with my partner Mariah for almost 6 years now. And it's a lot to be in a long-term committed relationship, as I am, because that's, you know, that's my preference. And to keep it full of passion, to keep it full of polarity. It takes a lot of work, especially when you're spending a lot of time together. You know, we live together, we work together, all kinds of things. So it's easy to get into these like subconscious patterns where polarity starts to dry up. And then, you know, a lot of people's approach is like, well, drop them, get someone new. But like, yeah. So that's been a lot of my growth recently, is just like, learning about a relationship, learning how to keep polarity alive, learning how to keep excitement and passion alive in a long-term relationship. So, you know, that's what I'm still working on, and I've gotten a lot better at it. You know, I a few years ago read the book No More Mr. Nice Guy by Dr. Robert Glover. And that just made me realize, holy shit, I've been in these patterns of like, I've been this like kind of weak, needy, kind of beta male type person, you know, and it's not very attractive. And that's why I've been having maybe a lack of excitement sometimes in relationships. So that was a huge shift for me, of like getting into like really connecting with my masculinity, owning my masculine energy, getting out of these patterns of like, you know, mommy daddy issues from my childhood. So it's been a journey for sure. And I'm still on it. You know, I still have my issues. I still have my things, but I've come a long way in my practice. And, you know, it's an endless journey. It's not like a lot of people believe like, yeah, I'm just going to get to this point where like I'm enlightened and everything's perfect. I'll be a guru and everything's just love and light and bliss and unicorns. And no, it's, I don't believe that ever really arises, because we're in a universe of creation. The creation process is this process of change, of polarities interacting and challenges, you know, pressure moving this direction and that direction. And it's a constant process. Creation's a process. Life is a process. Our evolution's a process. And we often reach periods of like attainment where like we overcame a challenge. It's like, all right, I overcame that challenge. And then it's like, okay, great. And then the next challenge comes. The universe says, oh, good job. You cleared this pile of shit we gave you. Well, now we're going to give you a bigger plate of shit. You know, that's kind of how it works. And so it's an endless process. So don't think that it ever ends, you know, and that's kind of the excitement of it. It's like, who wants to, it's like, I see reality as kind of like this video game where we came into this body. We came into this like avatar with certain parameters, certain limitations. And if we just had like God mode cheat codes on all the time, it'd get really boring. Like if we just could like, you know, manifest absolutely anything, whatever, at any time. I mean, I think we have to some extent that ability, but it would just get boring. Right. So like we create challenges, we create crises, you know, we create situations in our life so that we can learn, so we can grow, so we can be entertained, you know, because like you think about it, you know, we're eternal beings, energy cannot be created or destroyed. I mean, you to really fathom that, a billion years, that's still not even like the blink of an eye in eternity. It's crazy. So like, you know, what are you gonna do to keep yourself occupied and entertained for eternity? So it's kind of like this cosmic game, this adventure that we're on in life. And anyways, kind of getting on a tangent here with that, but yeah, basically reeling it back in now. Let me pour a little dandelion root coffee here. Some practical things. I see you guys have some questions. I'm gonna get to those here in just a moment. So what I encourage you guys to do, you know, is challenge yourself to be on this path of self-mastery, to look at all areas of your life. Your health, your finances, your artistic expression, your relationships, your spiritual path, everything, physical fitness, everything. Look at it and say, how can I do better with this? Where am I lacking in my skills? Be honest with yourself. You know, it can be, I know it can be difficult to be honest, to face our shadows, to face our own kind of shortcomings. You know, it's a kick in the ego for sure, but it's the only way we grow. So look at your life and say, you know, how can I, okay, this, I'm good at this. I'm not so good at this, but like, how can I do this better? How can I organize my life a little better? What do I really want to do with my life? Am I just like walking every day in this daze, just like doing the same thing over and over again, thinking that somehow things will miraculously change? Like, you know, you have to have some sort of destination, some sort of goal. What do you want in your life? What do you want in all areas? Get very clear on that. And then ask yourself, what am I doing to work towards these things? What am I doing to improve my health? What am I doing to improve my relationships, my energy cultivation, my spiritual path, my finances? What am I doing? Am I just allowing myself to be a victim and kind of be a slave, just washed around by the forces of external, well, external forces? Or am I starting to work, put the effort into these things, put the consciousness into these things, do the work, and take 100% responsibility? This is the most important, you know, the day you become an adult, the day you grow off out of the teenage, you know, drama and poor me, and this is all your fault, which most people never grow out of, that is the day that you step into accepting full responsibility for every aspect of your life, everything, you know, your current situation, your health, your finances, your relationships, everything. You take responsibility for that and say, you know what? This is up to me. No one else is going to do this for me. So take responsibility. You know, do your research, study, learn. We have all the tools. This is kind of the great irony in some ways, is that just how much information is available to us through the internet. It's everything that's ever been pretty much is on there. And what are most people doing with it? They're watching TikTok videos of big booties and like animals doing weird shit. You know, it's like just entertainment, not learning, not growing, not solving all their problems, which they could be. They're distracting themselves, you know. So just ask yourself where you're going. How much time are you spending doing things throughout the day? What are you doing throughout the day? Because the things that you're doing, the actions you're taking, are contributing to the path, the trajectory that you're on. So just be aware of that. So improve things, practice, take action, you know, study, grow, challenge yourself, read books, connect with people, practice cultivation, yoga, exercise, Qigong, meditation, breathwork, spiritual practice, you know, practice getting better at relationships, practice being a better friend, a better speaker, a better partner. And yeah, with that, I guess I think it's a fitting and be, you know, congratulate yourself, acknowledge how far you've come in your life, the challenges you've overcome, the pain that you've been through, and like not let it wear you down, you know? So acknowledge how far you've come, and also acknowledge that there's always a higher level to attain. There's no limit. There's always a higher level to attain. So with that, my friends, it's time to bring back the lost art of self-mastery. Don't be a lazy, just watching TikTok videos and bullshit all day. Do something meaningful with your life, because, you know, yeah, let's contribute something really valuable to this world. Okay. All right. With that, also, guys, if you're interested in, like, you know, something that I found the most helpful thing is, like, when I'm really feeling stuck in my life and like I'm trying to do things different but it just isn't working, is to completely remove myself from my normal day-to-day life, normal day-to-day surroundings, completely remove myself. And one of the best tools for me for that was going to retreats. I went to my first Qigong retreat with Michael Wynn in 2016, and it completely changed my life. You know, I had been doing Qigong for a few years before then, but like I came home from that retreat just like in love with doing Qigong, and just so much energy, so much chi, and like so much clarity about my life, because I was able to get away from it and like be in this completely different environment with amazing like-minded people cultivating energy. And I came home just lit up, and like my whole life dramatically changed. And if that sounds good, if you're interested in something like that, I'm hosting a men's retreat here in Asheville in May, next month, May 19th, May 23rd. This is the Masculine Awakening Retreat. We're going to be doing lots of Qigong. We're going to be diving into how to cultivate our energy, how to clear the blockages that we have in our mind and our body, how to step in and tap into our masculine energy to take control of our lives. And of course, how to work with our sexual energy, have non-ejaculatory orgasms, develop ejaculation control, transmute that sexual energy, you know, and meet a lot of amazing men who are on this path. So if you're interested in that, there's still some spaces open. There's a link in the description of this YouTube video. It's here in Asheville next month. It's going to be life-changing. The last one I did last year was life-changing. Everyone who was there, so many people said it was just a life-changing experience. They came home with so many tools, deepening their practice from it. So, you know, it's a good way to really transform your life, just completely shift your life and like, yeah. So, all right, guys. Oh, I don't know what I said, but I'm going to answer some questions now. So type your questions in the chat box. All right. Lertes, I may be pronounced that completely wrong, says, hey, Jonathan, what would you say is the biggest bang for the buck exercises in the case of Qigong, sexual kung fu, gathering and refining essence? Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Well, I would say the biggest bang for the buck exercises will be Zhanzhuang, the standing Qigong meditation practice. I have a video on that. Just sexual kung fu, standing meditation. Type that in YouTube. The Dantian breathing is going to be very important as well, as that will build the Dantian energy so that you get this thicker qi to really pressurize open the channel system. So Dantian breathing, also on my YouTube channel, YouTube, sexual kung fu, Dantian breathing. And then microcosmic orbit as well. I mean, those three things are really, really, really solid starting points. And of course the sexual practices getting, but that builds upon the foundations of those practices. So I think that's a really good kind of starting point and focal point. Okay. Then also asking, are you planning to do a bundle with your girlfriend for the courses for men and women, something a couple would benefit from? So whenever I launch Multi-Orgasmic Man, my 12-week course, which is going to be opening for registration soon, deep dive into sexual mastery, all the tools you need. we offer a bundle basically. So, if you purchase Multi-Orgasmic Man, you get a coupon that you can redeem for the woman's course, the Multi-Orgasmic Goddess course. So yes, there's a bundle with that when I open Multi-Orgasmic Man for registration. Okay. Okay, there's a question from Instagram. Jordan says, what's the best way to control your urge to ejaculate? I've gone weeks without doing it, but once I slip up, I can't seem to control myself afterwards. Yeah. Well, this kind of comes down to, I mean, this is, you know, a big focal point in the work of sexual kung fu is learning to overcome this addiction to ejaculation and create a new pathway of expression in your body. And I would say it's really working with the sexual kung fu practices, you know, working with the microcosmic orbit, doing Qigong practices, creating space in your body so that because the problem for men is we've been locked into this one expression of orgasm and sexual energy for our whole life, mostly, right? Which is to sticky sneeze it out the genitals, ejaculate. So when you work to create a new pathway for your sexual energy by bringing it upwards in your body, once you get familiar with how it feels to, instead of having ejaculatory orgasms, have this inward drawing of the sexual energy, building it up, charging it up, and not ejaculating at the end, there's an adjustment period to that, of course, as you learn to ground and hold and transform that energy. Having creative outlets for it's essential as well. But once you get familiar with that, you start to, I mean, at least I did, and most men I've talked to who do this work, you start to develop a preference for that type of experience, because it's kind of the thing of like, you know, if I eat a whole chocolate cake right now, yeah, it's delicious. It tastes nice. I get a few minutes of enjoyment, but how am I going to feel the rest of the day? I'm going to feel like shit. If I do that every day, I'm going to get, you know, I'm going to get a little chubby. I'm going to feel really shitty. My blood sugar is going to be out of control. So this is the thing, is like, you have to start looking at the long term, and the problem where people are being so stuck in like this in the moment, like short term instant gratification mindset. Like, well, feels good now, feels good now, feels like shit later. I don't care. Like, you know, you have to kind of see the bigger picture and start to push yourself out of your comfort zone, push yourself out of like, what's the most easiest and convenient thing. And like, start to say, hey, okay, I could ejaculate. Yeah, I could. It would feel nice right now, but it wouldn't feel so good later. I'd feel depleted. So you say, okay. And in the heat of the moment, you're like, okay, let's just feel, let's bring it through the orbit. Let's charge up with it. Let's feel that. That feels really nice. And honestly, ejaculating doesn't really actually feel much better than that. It's just like, you know, it doesn't change. You just lose the charge then, right? So using the sexual kung fu techniques to transmute the energy to draw through the body is essential as well. So really getting depth into the system and just being able to look at, you know, step back a bit and have some like self-control and say, okay, if I do this, I'm going to regret it. So maybe I shouldn't. And that's hard initially, but once you practice that, once you get used to that self-inquiry and that self-mastery, the theme of today, it becomes easier and easier, and then it becomes your natural thing. But you have to eventually, if initially it takes a lot of force and a lot of like, nope, I'm not going to do this, you know, but after a month, after 3 months of doing that, every time that becomes your new natural thing and you don't even have to think about it anymore. Lucius, what's up? Lucius says, howdy, Jonathan. Can you describe what true love is to you? How do you recognize the right person? Do you think true love will not happen if early in getting to know someone you will have, for example, an argument? Okay, this is kind of going on here. So first of all, okay. Well, okay, I'll finish this. And so if you have an argument and the person will get disinterested, or maybe it won't matter because it's true love. Okay. Well, there's kind of a lot to this here. Because just the concept of love. What is love? We take the word love. It can just be just a word. I mean, this is, and it's a difficult thing to define because it means different things to different people. And it's something people use to manipulate. Oh yes, I love you. Yes. Give me your money, drain your bank account and then leave you. Right. I mean, because we the word love can be, you know, you can say, yes, I love my wife. I love my family. And you can say, I love pizza. I love ice cream in like the same sentence. You know what I mean? So it's like, just that. And then true love, what does that really mean, right? Like what's true love and what's false love? So we can kind of, this is going to be a little bit of a breakdown here, but I mean, ultimately on the base level, I see love as simply, it's the force of the universe, because I believe that we're all, what is the universe? What is everything in existence? It's a field. It's a consciousness field. It's the chi field. It's all connected. You know, the whole quantum entanglement thing where everything's bound to each other, because it's all, or supposedly initially was all at one point, the Big Bang Theory, which is kind of, it's another religious theory really, right? But basically everything's connected. And so this force of bonding the universe together, this glue, we could say is love, this unconditional love, just this pure bonding force in the universe. So maybe we could say that that's true love. And this really also kind of connects to the Taoist concept of Yuan Qi, sometimes called original Qi. My understanding of Yuan Qi is that it's this, or specifically the prenatal Yuan Qi, the pre-birth kind of higher dimensional original force, which is a neutral energy. It's this kind of gluing, binding energy, because everyone's heard of yin and yang, or yin and yang. But Yuan Qi, you know, yin and yang are polarized, but what's kind of lubricating this interaction between yin and yang, because they're flowing into and out of each other. Yang becomes yin and yin becomes yang. The lubricating force is kind of the centrifugal, the center of the wheel, kind of the pivoting point is the Yuan Qi. It's the neutral force. It's in between. So it's lubricating that transition from yin to yang. So, this ties into the concept of, we could say, true love as well. When it comes into the human expression, specifically relationships, is when it gets really messy, because this is always polarized. It's always polarized. So we could say, like, in some ways, it's not true love. But in another way, it can be, because, you know, we feel love. Ultimately, this is what the sages talk about. This is what Jesus and the, you know, the kind of the enlightened masters talk about. of this concept of, or what the New Agers call Christ consciousness now, right? It's just basically this concept of just complete unconditional love, where, you know, love thy enemy. How many people really follow that, right? You know, the word's there, it's out there, right? It's all out there, but like, how many people actually follow that, right? Anyways, so that level of love, that's true love. That's true unconditional love. It's like someone could kick you in the shins and cut your testicles off and steal your money and, I don't know, you know, and you would still love them. That's true unconditional love. How many people can actually do that? Probably not very many. I certainly don't claim to be capable of doing this. So that's, I would consider that to be true unconditional love. That's just the force of, because there's no separation there. You at that level, it's not even a thought sense. It's a deep knowing, a deep understanding from your heart level that everything is connected. Everything in the universe is part of this perfect organism, and something only seems bad because it's relative to something good. So it's this perspective thing, but just in the absoluteness, the eternity of everything, there really is no bad and good. It's just this idea, you know, seemingly maybe harmonious system overall. So that's a pretty intense perspective to be able to take on all things. I don't know anyone who can do it personally. So that's true love. That's unconditional love. I would consider that. So in relationships, it gets really messy because we're so polarized. The male, female, I mean, or any sex, any sexual attraction is based on polarity. So it's already kind of contaminated or compromised in a certain way as far as like a being purely unconditional. There's already an agenda there, and it's understandable because we're in these polarized bodies and we're basically wired to have this type of emotional attraction. So we could say kind of attraction is different than love, true love, if we're using what I've considered to be this true unconditional love thing. There's unconditional true love, and then there's attraction, and that's something different. And we often with all, you know, we weave in and out of that unconditional love for sure, because sometimes we have this, that deep heart opening, and, oh, I love you, Noel, even though you did this, I don't care, I love you, you know, there's this there. But then like our kind of personality pulls us back into the polarity, and we say, well, you did this, fuck you, I hate you, you know. So we're in the opposite end of the spectrum. So it's the polarity game. So with that, you know, I don't know, where do we go from there? We're going deep today. I like it. So yeah. And recognize the right person to you. You just have to know what you like, what you don't like, what your constitution is, and kind of choose, like, what do you want in a partner? What supports you? What do you resonate with? You know what I mean? It's important to know these things ahead of time, because the tendency for humans, especially as us men, is like, there's a physically attractive woman, you know, it's like, oh, she's hot, I would, you know, let's do it, baby. And then you have, you know, you connect maybe physically, you know, especially if you have sex, then you're bonded. And then you feel like you love this person. You're like, oh, I love you so deeply. And really it's just, you know, you've glued yourself to them. You've created this deep sexual exchange. And so it kind of pulls you into this connection with them. And it may be a person who ultimately is actually not a good fit for you, but you kind of just blew past the early stages of dating to kind of filter if they're actually a fit for you. And you just went to like glue yourself to them, and now it's very sticky. Right. So I think that's enough of this for now. So it's really just, I think it's important before you're in a relationship to have certain qualities that you expect from a partner that you will support you in the long term. And then in the dating process, you're kind of, it's kind of like this interviewing process. You're like, okay, how does this resonate with you? How does, you know, I'm into this. How do you feel? You know, you're basically determining if you're a good fit in that process, ideally, right? And that's what part of dating should be about, is the tendency for a lot of people is just to like, oh, I just want whatever I can get, or she's hot, I'm gonna date, you know? So yeah, I think I've said enough on that. Hopefully that answers your question. Okay. Sunil says, need your advice regarding an issue, but kind of embarrassing to ask here. Do you reply to questions on Insta? Sometimes I get to Insta direct messages. Sometimes I don't. I get a ton of them, so I'm not always able to answer them. So, you know, I encourage you just to ask your question, because like, you know, this is, I mean, I throw everything out there. I'm not going to judge you. I don't think anyone here is going to judge you. This is a safe space. We need spaces like this to talk about things. You know, we're all human. Whatever you're going through, I guarantee someone else probably here right now watching is going through it as well. So I encourage you to share here if you're comfortable, but you know, it's fine if you're not. Sean Flanagan says, your videos on YouTube cured my ED even when Viagra couldn't do anything. Thanks, mate. That's pretty incredible, Sean. Thanks for sharing that. I'd love to hear like if there was something specific that you found helpful regarding that. There you go. Sexual kung fu cured this man's erectile dysfunction. Hallelujah. Amen. Tony BBQ says, I know you think Kegels are overrated, but I'm curious what you think their value is. How do you use it as a tool if you do? Getting me all fired up on Kegels. Yeah. The Kegel is probably the most abused exercise that just makes people's issues worse. But the benefit of Kegels, I mean, it does definitely tonify a certain function of the pelvic floor. So like if someone is incontinent, you know, people who are older or whatever, they're incontinent, yes, a Kegel will be very valuable. But see, the thing is that most people's pelvic floor is so messed up from years of sitting, from, you know, imbalances in the surrounding muscle groups. A lot of people have weak glutes. Their glutes aren't firing correctly. And what happens is the pelvic floor, because of the surrounding muscle groups are out of whack, the pelvic floor starts to work as a stabilizing muscle, which it's not meant to be, which is why so many people get a hypertonic pelvic floor, a very tense pelvic floor. The value of Kegels, I will say this on it. In the prostate orgasm practice, it requires using pelvic floor engagement, Kegel type engagements, but it's a very different context because first of all, you do a process of completely, deeply, deeply relaxing the pelvic floor. And then you have a baseline of relaxation. Most people are doing Kegels with a baseline of tension in the pelvic floor, and it just makes the issue worse. But with the prostate orgasm practice, you have a baseline of deep relaxation, and then you start to create basically these vibrations, these involuntary spasms in your various pelvic floor muscles. But it's not even just like straight Kegeling. It's very different types of engagement. So that is a useful application of it as well. By the way, the prostate orgasm course is coming out very soon. Those of you who bought the masterclass bundle, you're getting this. I know it's taken longer than I anticipated, but I just wanted it to be really good. I have it all mapped out, and I'm hoping to have it done in the next couple of weeks or so. We'll see, but it will be coming out soon. It's going to be a good one, let me tell you. All right, Charlie Davis says, is standing meditation the best way to begin learning Qigong? Any other specific Qigong exercises for beginners? Yes, I believe that Zhanzhuang standing meditation is essential because without it, it's difficult to develop the body that is conducive to Qi flow. This is the problem with a lot of Qigong is like, just wait as I knock over my drink here. The problem with a lot of, you know, kind of the Qigong for seniors is you're just kind of flapping your arms around. You're flapping your arms around, only getting a fraction of the Qi cultivation that you would be getting if you know how to connect the whole body as an integrated unit. Feet to Dan Tien to hands. That's the flow of Qi, is feet, Dan Tien to hands. But most people, it's just hands, just arms, and they get just a little bit of Qi that's already up there in the upper body. But man, when you get that root going, boom. And that's what Zhanzhuang helps you do. And it can take years. It's a lifetime practice for sure. I will say that Dan Tien work is also something very important to add in. Check out my Dan Tien breathing video. Immortal Energy Arts, my online school, is where I go really into depth on like how to really connect with Qi. I teach the essentials in Multi-Orgasmic Man as well. But if you go to immortalenergyarts.com, you can check out my online program there where it's just really, really in-depth systematic training and how to really turn your body into a Qi generator. Kechana, Richard Orozo, what's up? Kechana says, how do you reduce refractory period? If you are very healthy, have good hormone levels, good hormone balance, You're getting all your nutrients, your essential minerals, really solid diet, good gene levels, healthy kidney energy, then the refractory period won't be so rough. But when you have, you know, low testosterone, high estrogen, the prolactin peaks will really tank you for days. If you're not getting your minerals, and as you age, inevitably it becomes a little more rough. So building your kidney energy, building your sexual vitality, there's certain herbs and things that can help as well. I think ginseng is one that helps inhibit anything that inhibits prolactin is going to help this as well. Yeah. And also practicing sexual kung fu, learning to draw the essence of your semen through your body. You spend 20 minutes at least doing that during sex. Then if you ejaculate, it's not nearly as depleting. AW Sink says, hi, Jonathan, what is your opinion on multiple partners? Do you think monogamy is ideal or is it a personal preference? It's a personal preference. It's a constitutional preference. Different things work for different people. It just depends. Do you want to go wide or do you want to go deep, right? It can be harder to go really into a really, really depth connection with a lot of different people. That's what I found personally. You know, I prefer just going really deep with one person, but you know, there's no really true right or wrong here. It's whatever works for you. Just to be aware of that. Everyone you have sex with, you're exchanging information with, you're exchanging karmic patterns, you're exchanging deep energy with. So just, you know, be selective of who you choose to connect with. Ed Kizier says, I'm having a hard time with temptation with the opposite sex. I'm over 2 months in with semen retention. Well, I mean, what's the problem? You know, it's like, it's not like you can't have sex, learn to have non-ejaculatory orgasms, learn sexual kung fu, and then you don't have to be celibate. But if it's more of like some thought you don't really want to get involved with, then, you know, have high standards and be selective of who it is and, you know, find a nice woman to hook up with, to date, whatever. Powell, what's up? Happy Easter to you as well. It's Easter weekend, isn't it? He is risen. Hallelujah. It's the spring energy, the fertility, the rebirth of, you know, it's interesting, all these holidays, they have their pagan origins, right? Origins, you know, Christmas with solstice, Easter with the spring equinox, basically the time of fertility, rebirth, you know, after the darkness of winter, the coming back to the light, the everything's growing again. There's other holidays too, but that's what comes to mind. Yeah. Sean Flanagan says, will you do any European retreats? I would really love to do a European retreat. Definitely. It's something that's been coming up a lot. I know a lot of you guys, my brothers in Europe, I would love to do it. I'm still kind of learning getting the wheels turning on doing the retreat thing, because it's kind of a lot putting together and getting people to show up and everything, but I 100% want to do it. So I know it will happen at some point. I can't say when, but yeah, it's definitely coming. Okay. Powell's asking, what is your daily spiritual practice? What do you do and for how long? I would say a lot of days I'm in spiritual practice all day. For me, what I would more consider of spiritual practice is, I mean, some people consider just doing Qigong and things like that as spiritual practice because you're working with the unseen energy. But to me, Qi is just like, it's just as much as my reality is like, you know, smacking this couch here. So it's not really, it doesn't seem spiritual, like a spiritual practice to me when I'm doing Qigong. But there's certain forms that I do, certain practices that connect me more with like the kind of the Shen, the spiritual level, spiritual awareness, you know, a lot of the internal alchemy work that I do, learned from Michael Wynn, really phenomenal. Nadon, forming the elixir, you know, working with the essences of the planets, the stars, the solar system, kind of the oversoul stuff, you know, it goes deep. So some of that stuff, but ultimately I feel like, I mean, just for me, just being able to be fully present in the here and now and just tune into like what I've been really working on is getting out of the, I think it's getting into like, you know, alpha, even like theta states where like, for example, I was walking out in the woods yesterday and just like stopping the mind of thoughts, because that's the first thing that happens. Like thoughts come and you're just thinking about shit. I'm just like, oh, I'm gonna walk in the woods, but I'm just fucking thinking about random shit. But instead of that, you release and just like kind of absorb into the environment and you get into this like higher. It's really how I felt as a child. It's just like you're tuned into the vibe of the area and you start to feel these very abstract things. You start to tune into a very different type of communication. And I don't know. But yeah, I'm in spiritual practice all the time. I don't really have like a, but again, there's just, I guess I said, there's things I do that are more formal spiritual practice and things like that. Powell says, what is your favorite method for heavy urges to jerk off to porn? Microcosmic orbit. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, this hasn't been an issue for me in a while because I guess because I'm practicing for hours a day and I'm just, you know, just there's no urge to do stupid shit, like looking at porn or something like that. Just like there's zero appeal to me at this point in my life. And it took me a few years to get there. But I guess back in the day, when that was the case, I mean, first of all, it's just like, I just wouldn't do it. You know, it's like, okay, I have the urge to, well, just don't do it. It's as simple as that. But if I really felt like uncomfortable with that energy, I would do the microcosmic orbit, do testicle breathing, orgasmic breathing, you know, sexual energy transmutation practices, or just have, you know, sexual stimulation, whether it's by myself or with a partner, have sex. And then, you know, that's what you really want, right? and work with that in a beautiful heart-centered way and cultivate that energy. And then it's like, oh, this is what I really wanted, was the orgasmic sensation, not just the weird impulses of porn is a different way of going about it that we get programmed into. V33 says, how do you personally know you've been retaining for too long, regardless of doing microcosmic orbit and other practices daily? For me, there's a feeling of, there's a couple things that it manifests as for me. Sometimes it's like a feeling of where my libido actually starts going down and like my erection qualities starts getting lessened. For me, that's more like beyond 6 weeks or so. Usually sometimes it's around 6 weeks, right? That happens. So just kind of like a feeling of stagnance and like my endocrine system, you know, isn't quite as active. So it's like, okay, time to reset the system, reboot it. And then I have a conscious ejaculation and it fires back up better than ever. And then the other thing that, which is kind of more common, I would say, is just like absolute, like excessive horniness to where like, I just, this obvious, very, very, very strong charge of my genitals, no matter how much, you know, even doing hours of daily practice, sexual transmutation practices, it's still there. It's like, okay, it's time to release this. And I often start to feel this, like just a lot of pressure and like discomfort feeling in the perineum area. Probably, you know, just a buildup of all the jing there. And that's when it's like, okay, I've transmuted as much as I can. It's time to let the old go, you know? So yeah, I cyclically ejaculate every 4 to 6 weeks or so. And I feel that to be the best approach. It gives me the most energy, the most, you know, it's what works the best for me. I've been in both extremes of ejaculating every day and trying to go for months. And yeah, that's my ideal timeline. Okay, I'm not sure if part of this message from Nature 6 was cut off. It says, takes away from my life, yet everyone around me is doing it. I don't drink or do drugs. Any idea what to do with this ultimate enemy of the soul, lust? So here's the first problem. Saying lust is the ultimate enemy of the soul. Now you're in a battle with it. Now you're engaged in a polarity with it. You're over here, it's over there. And whenever when you're in a polarity with something, you're actually identifying with it. You're actually bonding yourself to that because polarities are always connected. One cannot exist without the other. So you're creating this, you're making it the enemy, resisting it, you're feeding it. So what you're actually doing is strengthening and amplifying this pattern in your life. I believe there's nothing wrong with lust. I don't think lust is anything to be like, oh, that's wrong. That's dirty. That's wrong. No, it's maybe a misinterpretation of some things I've said. Because I do talk about like excessive lust and things like that. But the thing is that I see lust as like maybe you could see it like as a certain elemental quality. It's this water element energy. It's on a base level, it's this drive to procreate, to fuck, really, to survive. It's a survival instinct. That's, you know, and it's a lot of spiritual passage. It's this base level dirty energy that you know, but I don't think it's dirty. I don't think it's wrong. I don't think it's base level technically because it's the base, but it's, you know, this is part of the whole spectrum of reality. You know, to say the heaven is good, earth is bad is ridiculous in my opinion, because it's all part of the same system. It's another polarity, heaven and earth, form and formless. So lust isn't wrong. The thing is it must be integrated. If you spend your life fighting it, saying it's wrong, oh my God, there's something wrong with me because I have lust, it's going to be an endless battle. You cannot win. Wars cannot be won. No one wins in war. No one wins in battles. Everyone loses, you know. So get out of the war with it and start to love it. Start to love your lust. That's exactly what it needs, is connection with the heart energy. All this is a disconnect between the sexual center and the heart center, because we've, you know, through porn conditioning and things, we split that connection. Or maybe we had a difficult experience with the partner, so we cut ourselves from the vulnerability of that. So learning to reconnect that sexual raw desire with the loving, connective, expansive energy of the heart. Oh, that's the beauty. That's what the full body orgasm is the that pure animal energy mixes with that that light, expansive, radiant, loving energy. They mix together and it creates a new force, something very beautiful and pure that wants to just move up in your body and give you full body orgasm. So I wish someone had told me that, you know, because. Area Muscle says, how do you deal with huge urges at night and how to transmute that energy? Have a good nighttime routine, my friend. And this is pretty common. You know, nighttime is often a time where it's like, oh, where people's like vices and kind of impulses really kick in. And I noticed this for myself as well in the past, you know, early on in my journey. This was the time when I was like, I'm just fixing to get an ejaculation off. So have a good nighttime routine for yourself that transitions from kind of like your day life into the night, kind of the night self, really, into the dream space, the dark void we go into every night. So a nice nighttime routine, you know, make yourself a nice dinner. Maybe read a book or something. Do some stretching, do some yoga, do some breath work, some meditation, do the microcosmic orbit practice to move that sexual energy out of your genitals. Go on my YouTube channel, Sexual Kung Fu Microcosmic Orbit. Do that practice every night. Do the testicle breathing practice, or, you know, instead, whatever. Do something like that every night. Basically just have a solid routine that helps you kind of transition into sleep, and especially something that releases tension from your body and your mind, you know, like a meditative type of practice. Maybe it's a walk, you know, going for a walk at night and just walk. They focus on relaxing your body, getting out of thoughts, just focusing on your breath, like a walking meditation, to transition out of this kind of rising, it's the rising of the jing they talk about a lot in the classics, is like where your energy wants to kind of be wasted. It wants to be stimulated to just like, yeah, jerk off to porn or, you know, do drugs, whatever, party, but to settle the jing through calming the mind, calming the spirit. So having some kind of nighttime routine that supports that will be very helpful. Lucas Poppenborg says, I have a kind of urine problem where I store all the tension in the lower abs and prostate area. What practices can suggest? Okay. So probably, I mean, this could be many things. It could be prostate issues, you know, depending on your age and everything. So that's, you know, one of the first things you want to look into, because this is a common thing for men. And it's, you know, obviously we know it can become a serious problem if unchecked. So check that out. It's something I have, you know, I'm constantly aware of as well, because I have my mother's genetics, her side of the family, which I have a lot of my mother's genetics. Prostate issues is a big one. So I have to really, you know, keep an eye on mine, keep it healthy. Massage it, give it some saw palmetto berry and all the nice remedies for that. So there's that, but it can also be pelvic floor tension. This is extremely common. It can be related to like the psoas muscle, a lot of things. Chi-ne song, which is a bodywork technique, Chi-ne song, Chi-ne-song. I studied this myself. It's a phenomenal healing art. This can be really helpful for releasing some of these tension patterns. Do the pelvic floor stretching routine. I have one on my channel, Sexual Kung Fu, pelvic floor stretches. Prostate massage, actually using like an Aneros type prostate massager, can really help release internal tension there as well. So it depends what's causing it. I will say it could be many different causes. You see the turkey in the background? All these turkeys. Oh, it comes another one. Oh, the turkeys are here. Goddamn. There'll probably be a bunch more. There's like 20 turkeys that live around here. Don't jerk your turkey. Turkey jerking. Tobias says, hi, Jonathan. I want to thank you for all the amazing free stuff you're putting out there, especially the Qigong practices. You're welcome. It's all for you guys. You know what I mean? It's like humanity needs these tools. I love this stuff. I share incredible. I mean, I share more on my YouTube channel than a lot of people's, you know, multi-$1,000 courses. I know because I've taken a lot of these. Tobias says, one question is practicing Qigong itself already working on negative energies. It's probably necessary to put in additional practices, right? For example, the shaking. Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, this comes down to like negative energy and like our understanding of this negative energy is like bad, evil chi, some systems call it. Or I mean, negative energy, in my opinion, is really just like chi. It's excessive energy. It's often just stuck energy. Like there's energy from a certain emotion you had a while ago that got stuck in this channel and it's still there, which is inappropriate. So you're still stuck in this certain emotional pattern. So we can consider that a type of negative energy. So basically, yes, Qigong, if you're doing a good, Qigong practice, at least the like more circulation, because there's different types of Qigong. There's building Qigong practice. So like Dantian building, that's probably not going to be clearing negative energy because it's just straight building qi, building qi, building qi. But something like Zhan Zhuang or most movement Qigong, where it's kind of dredging the channels, clearing things out, especially clearing type practices like six healing sounds, a lot of like Dao Yin practices, is going to help release the negative energy, the stuck qi patterns. Samar says, hey, bro, please tell about Kriya Yoga. I don't know what to say about Kriya Yoga. I practice it for a while. It's great. There's a lot of benefits to it. It's very fiery practice, though, very fire path. Less grounding, less, not really any descending energy current. So it can dry up your kidney energy. Yeah, I mean, it's a solid spiritual practice, though. It'll raise the fires, blast out the crown. Hallelujah. Brandon Braun says, do you do one-on-one coaching? I don't do a lot of it. A requirement to apply for coaching sessions, training sessions with me is to have gone through my Multi-Orgasmic Man course. And you must be a serious, you got to be practicing hard. You got to be doing solid daily practice. Got a good foundation. Jason Wilson says, when the most sensitive area on my penis is stimulated, my pelvic floor clenches involuntarily and takes me to the point of no return in almost no time. What can I do to stop this? For your information, I do practice reverse Kegels. This is just a very common tension response to sexual stimulation. It basically means you have a stress response to sexual stimulation. Most men, a lot of men do. Reverse Kegels are great, but it's going to take several things to, first of all, addressing stress. If you're a tense person, if you have a lot of stress, working on managing that, getting out of the fight or flight state is very important because it's often linked to being kind of stuck in that sympathetic fight or flight nervous system. And where most of us men hold this tension, or one area we hold a lot of this tension when we're constantly in fight or flight is the pelvic floor. I recommend having a daily routine of kind of loosening up, opening the pelvic floor with stretches. Check out my top four pelvic floor stretches video, sexual kung fu, pelvic floor stretches. My pelvic floor rehab video. It's going to take a little more than just reverse Kegels. Those are helpful, but like you need to really get and release the deep tension. I have a training on my website called Awakening the Sexual Center, which is a much more kind of comprehensive, elaborate routine for releasing pelvic floor tension. It's what I used that really, really helped me release this stuff. So yeah, it's basically doing like deep squats, stretches that really open up the hips and release pelvic floor tension. It's what's going to help you with that. Reverse Kegels are great, but like it's going to take a little bit more if it's really, really strong tension response. Something else I recommend is practice stimulating and not even touching the frenulum, which is that, you know, sensitive area, the ejaculation trigger, the underside of the penis. Just stimulate the base of the penis and the upper side. Like have a self-pleasure session where that's all you do is you stimulate just the base of the penis and the upper part of the shaft. It will start to help create sensation in your less sensitive areas of the penis, which do not trigger ejaculation, and kind of help create more of a parasympathetic response in your, basically how the nerves, because there's all these nerves in the penis, and the frenulum ones have the most strong response for most people because they've ingrained it through, you know, stress-based masturbation habits, where it's all the pleasure signals are going into the prostate, squeezing to build up to ejaculation. So when you strengthen the parasympathetic nervous signals in your pelvic floor area and from the penis by stimulating the areas I just talked about on the penis, that can help with this issue. Gonna get there eventually. 64 says, can tightness in the muscles disrupt the energy channels? Yes. Well, it's kind of a double thing here. Like tension patterns disrupt the energy channels, but often the tension patterns arise because the energy channels are already disrupted. There's too much chi there. It's stuck in there, not enough, whatever. Usually it's too much when it's a tension pattern. You've got chi stuck in that area. So it can be, you know, the tension causes the blockage or the blockage causes the tension. I mean, these things are often connected. And you suggest visiting local massage clinics to create flow again for sexual energy. I think getting massage is great. Everyone, humans need more touch. We all need more touch. And a great way to get that is a massage. You know, I don't get massages as much as I should. I should be getting a massage every week. In like 2 months, I've got one because I've been too lazy to just sit down and book one. Reminder to do that today, right? Last, I got a massage a couple months ago. Amazing, amazing. The best massage I ever had was last year. I was in Nashville, Tennessee on my way, you know, traveling across the country with my wife, Mariah. And I went to this, you know, found a massage place. I was like, I need a massage. And it was this really, really talented massage therapist, this girl. And I think I cooked her with my energy. I just like, it was like all these, like all this energy, like she's working on me, like all these things. I could feel just all this energy just releasing from my body. I felt like a god at the end of that massage. I was just like, energy was just like, boom. And I think I might have picked her a little bit. I'm not sure. She looked a little fried, but maybe not. I don't know. Okay. Next Multi-Orgasm Man course. It's coming very soon. If you're on the wait list, you will be first to know. Subliminal vinyl. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Subliminal vinyl says, what's happening when semen leaves through the urine? Are we losing life force? If so, how do we stop this? Usually this is just prostate fluid, because when you're having non-ejaculatory sex, or when you're aroused, fluid is moving into the prostate. It's sometimes there's semen in it. Sometimes it's just a prostate fluid. And usually that is what's coming out when you urinate, because the prostate is right next to the bladder. There's tubes connecting them. And so Yeah, usually just an overflow of prostate fluids. Nothing to be concerned about. Doing like a bit of prostate massage, especially like just sitting on the tennis ball, practice I teach to acupress prostate and release fluid. Doing that every day is really helpful as well. But it's nothing to be concerned about if there's semen in your urine, unless you're having like, you know, retrograde ejaculation. N says, how can I deal with long streaks, but then falling short more than once with a chaser effect due to the intense pressure? Well, don't get stuck in extremes. Here's the thing is like a lot of guys, like I go 3 months without ejaculating, then I'm going to jerk off, you know, 5 days in a row. So it's just like one extreme to the other. Just find a balance, you know, maybe once a month is your ideal routine. You know, it's not a thing of like, yeah, you have to go forever. It's just finding the right, it's all about balance and harmony. It's like, if you don't feel happy, if it's not benefiting you in the long run, why do it? So that's what my philosophy is find the routine that's balanced for you. And really work, you know, especially really working with the sexual kung fu practices, learning to sublimate the sexual energy, learning to extract the energy of the semen through the practices, through the power lock exercises, the, you know, the sexual energy breathing. I teach these things in my multi-orgasmic man course so that you're, it's no longer this, like, I'm just not going to ejaculate and go as long as I can. Then okay, ejaculate. Now I want to do it 5 times because I'm actually not really giving myself sexual pleasure. So learning how to engage in sexual pleasure in a more holistic way, because when you're repressing that, it builds up and your body's kind of like, hey, you're an asshole. You're not allowing me to like feel pleasure, just suppressing this natural thing. So learning to engage pleasure with the sexual kung fu practices. And then it no longer becomes like you become identified as like, oh, I have to not ejaculate. It becomes a natural side effect of your practice, building energy. Okay, guys, just a couple more questions here, then I got to go. Last two questions. Okay, last one question, actually. Powell says, what advice would you give for a BDSM porn junkie who has a fetish induced by porn? Should I try it in real life or abstain from this kind of practice to find normal relationships? Well, my experience with this kind of thing has been that it's never really like as satisfying as you think it's going to be, because like it's just this whole thing of like you got conditioned this very lustful image and thing of sex, and you can try it. Sure, it won't kill you. You know, try some BDSM, whatever. But like, you may find that it's actually like not as gratifying as you thought it was. You know? And you're like, okay, that actually wasn't that a big deal. Or you just become like addicted to it and it still becomes this like very lustful approach that's kind of pulling on your energy. Or maybe it's, I mean, you could certainly, I know a lot of people who are into this kind of stuff who do sexual cultivation. You know, they find BDSM to be almost this like spiritual sex practice for them. So all I can say is integrate it with your heart, but don't like, this is the whole thing also of like not just being a slave to your impulses and just like doing things because you have the urge to. Exercising some self-mastery here. Okay, guys. Thanks for joining me. It's been a great session. Great. Always good seeing you guys. Good hanging out with you guys. I probably won't be going live next week. Got some family in town visiting me. So yeah, with that, have a great weekend, my friends. Be on that path to self-mastery. Oh, and remember the men's retreat here in Asheville, North Carolina next month. Find out more information through the link in the description of this video. Should be in my Instagram bio as well. All right, guys. Take care. Thank you for joining me on this episode of the Sexual Kung Fu Podcast. Make sure you grab my free ejaculation control guide in the description and follow Sexual Kung Fu on Instagram and YouTube.